Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today with another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to having dialogue and discussion with you today. So let's not forget it. Sometimes I'm prone to do that. Let me give you that telephone number. It's 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, having dialogue and discussion together. Let me remind you that Let's Face the Issues is set up and scheduled on a format of Q&A, question and answers. It's our joy and delight to have you call in, ask your questions, and let us have dialogue and discussion with you on the issues of the day. We're going to be talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, an issue that I think is very important, and I'm just simply calling it, for lack of a better term, every vote counts. Every vote counts. It's amazing to me how many elections in history past have been won by simply one vote, just one vote. In fact, I recall a number of years ago right here in our state, one of our legislators, House of Representatives member, was elected from the Duval area, from our local area, and his election was put him in office with two votes, two-vote margin. I never will forget sitting in his office after he was sworn in. And my wife and I were with him, had prayer with him, encouraged him, and talked about some of the issues that our state was facing at the time. And I reminded him that our two votes put him in office. he said just about everybody he's talked with, their two votes put him in office. The seat was won by two votes. So every vote counts. It is important for us to recognize that. Our guest today is Don Redmond. Don is running for Board of Education for districts 3, I believe it is, in the Duval County Board of Education. We'll introduce him shortly, and we'll be able to have dialogue and discussion about some of the issues on our school board and some of the horrors that we've recently seen with a mother having her child carried off in the backseat of a police car, injected with psychotropic drugs and Baker acting. I don't know about you, but I'm bothered by it, and we'll talk about that also in our broadcast today. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Scripture is the source book for truth. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, the Bible is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is truth. And yet we have people today like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Adam Schiff. I hold my tongue because I want to give him the Trump name every time I think of his name. But anyway, I am concerned when I see the lack of truth in Washington. But yet, as we think on the subject of facing the issues, we need to do so based on nothing but truth. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my words, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus qualifies that truth a little further when he says, "I am truth," in John 14:6. And then further elaboration on that made a very, very clear statement in John 17:17, where Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, let me commend to you the truth, which is the word of God. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And that's exactly what we see taking place in Washington and across our nation. And it seems to be permeating society today, where there is a hatred, an animus, for those that stand for truth. And if you don't believe that, just notice what happened just a few days ago right here in our city. with a man, 27-year-old man, that drove through one of the tents where the Republicans were getting people registered to vote. It's a miracle that someone was not killed. That's indicative of the fact that that individual has animus and hate in his heart because he's rejecting the truth. But it's the 15th century church reformer and theologian that made a statement that I think should be our fundamental foundation for living in life. And this is what Jan Hus said. He said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even till death." And may I commend that to you. I believe that we'd see a changed world, a changed life, a changed family and community if Christians, nothing but Christians, if Christians would take that position of simply seeking the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth. It'd make a vast difference. It will allow us to stand out and be heard and seen as never before. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the homeowner brand equipment like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries a full line of professional and residential lawn care equipment, including, ladies and gentlemen, hurricane preparedness equipment, with a full-time staff that is there to answer all of your questions about the power generation and or the power equipment that is sold at Tools for Time. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you ask the question, where is that located? 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the gigantic 165-foot flagpole, flying American flag 24/7. And at the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us today. And as we think about the fact that every citizen, I believe every believer in particular, ought to be involved in our community, in our state, and our nation. We're in the early stages, ladies and gentlemen. Perhaps you know it. Perhaps you've been totally oblivious to it. But let me remind you, we're in the early stages of a year of election campaigning, getting ready for November the 3rd for our general election in our city, our state, and in our nation. We will have the opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to simply say yes to putting President Trump back in office. And I'm the one that I want to propose that everyone we put in office, not that we need to elect simply what I would call Trumpites, that's not the point at all, but we need to elect those that will stand with and be honored by standing with our president and trying to get things accomplished in our nation. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, family values. Faith and freedom are the valuable things that we just cannot, as Christians and as conservatives, sit back and do nothing. We've just witnessed the victory. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. We've just witnessed the victory in New Hampshire of a socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrat running for the presidency of the United States of America. Now, I would have never guessed, never believed, you'd have never convinced me 25-30 years ago that this would be possible. You would have never convinced me that we would have had a person that would have that momentum and that followership, but the overwhelming majority of his followership and those screaming at his rallies are those that are what I simply call empty-headed young millennials. And I'm not trying to denigrate the 18 to 35-year-old age group, but that happens to be the major age group that is following Bernie Sanders. The 18 to 35-year-old age group is the Sanders supporters. And in that group, ladies and gentlemen, listen to the statistical data. In that group, 74% say that America is not a good nation. 74% of those that are following Bernie Sanders, that age group that's following him, say that America is not good. They do not feel good about America, and they say that socialism is a better system than our constitutional republic with a capitalistic system of economic power. Now, I don't know if that bothers you. It does me, because that points to where we're going in the next several years. It's not too many years away that most of us, in our age group, I call it the gray hair, the white hair, and the no hair group, when we'll be with Jesus. And it'll be that age group, ladies and gentlemen, that will be running our nation, running our colleges, our universities, our political system, and everything that the American citizens will be exposed to. And I shudder to think that there would be even the close potentiality of America electing a communist president. And he is a full-fledged communist. He, after his wedding, their honeymoon was in Russia. He admires Russia, the Russian leadership. And he's been to Cuba several times, praising Fidel Castro and the leadership there. Says that the Cuban system, Venezuela, up until the past 2 years, he was praising Venezuela for their system of governance and for their social medicine. He doesn't want to talk about Venezuela now. But nevertheless, the whole point is we look at what is happening with the socialist, Marxist, communist candidates for president, and all of them fit in that category. At least he's the honest one, if I can say that. He's the honest one. He tells you that he is a socialist, Marxist, communist. He tells you his stand on the issue. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible, the Word of God, gives us a very clear overview of the qualifications. And I'm going to talk about these clear qualifications in this elongated monologue before I introduce to you Don Redman, that is running for school board District 3. But I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, what the Bible says are the qualifications for seeking a candidate for office. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, the Bible is very, very clear. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Ladies and gentlemen, very, very clear. There's a fourfold, and I won't take but a minute. There's a fourfold absolute qualification requirement for those that you or that I seek to put in office and vote for. God's word settles it. We ought not to wonder what the qualification should be. We ought not to wonder whether or not we can vote for a party that believes in abortion, murder by way of abortion, believes in the sodomite lifestyle and embracing that, and all of the things that are believed and adhered to by the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats. First of all, it's capability. The Bible says able men. Let's talk about men that can lead, men that are qualified to lead in the capacity in which they're elected for. Men with convictions, the scripture says, such as fear, that is awe, reverence for God. That is men that are governed by the biblical principles. Governed by biblical principles. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you dare believe this garbage that you hear and sometimes coming from the pulpits, that some preachers will have you to believe that you can't get involved in the political system, that you ought not to talk about elections. You ought not. In fact, I had a lady not too long ago who said, what do I do? My pastor won't even talk about when election time comes. We'll not talk about candidates. We'll not even refer to the election. And I said, what you need to do is find a church where the whole truth of the Word of God is expounded upon so that the people will understand what God says that we need to do. The Bible says that the qualifications for people that we put in office would be, number one, men. By the way, if you don't understand it, you haven't heard me say it before. I believe God ordained men be the head of the home. Men are to be the head of the church. Men are to be responsible for and the head of the leadership in our governance system in America. And I am a little bit weary with, and I'm not trying to denigrate women, but I'm weary with them trying to see how many women they can pack in the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate, and that seems to be the goal of seeing how many women you get. When they talk about war, you talk about going to war, you talk about, and women get all squeamish with that and say, well, that's going to hurt somebody. Yeah, war is designed to break things and kill people. But we need to understand the need to have a strong military power in America. We're talking about, though, the capability. Men that are capable, able men, it's there. Scripture says, conviction, men that fear God. And thirdly, character, men of truth. Now, that's a pretty tall order in today's society. We're trying to find folks to put in office. Men of truth. This speaks of reputation and reliability, one that you can count on, trust on, one that will say, this is when I'm elected, this is what I'm going to do, and then they follow through and do what they say they were going to do before they were elected. I know that's a tall order. That's biblical. Not just capable men and men of conviction and men of character, but men that have their lives under control. It says, hating covetousness. hating covetousness. That is literally, ladies and gentlemen, they're not running for office because of greed or gravis. They're not running for office because they're grasping and wanting more and more and more, but they want to serve the people. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we need in Duval County. That's exactly what we need in the city council. That's exactly what we need in any elected office. That's exactly what we need on our school board. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what the citizens of Jacksonville and Duval County need to have, is capable, qualified candidates with conviction and with character running for local, state, and national office. And one of those men, and I don't want to come across as trying to put someone on a pedestal, but some of those men, one of those men, I believe, because I've known him for less than 100 years. Don, we're not that old, are we?
Not yet.
But one of those men is Don Redmond. Don's running for District 3 for the Duval County School Board. And I am thankful that he's here. Don, welcome to the broadcast on Let's Face the Issues today. I'm delighted to have you as a friend and as one that I've known so long, and one that I know, based on the authority of Scripture, that you pass muster, as I call it, with the qualifications that I just shared from the Scripture. And I'm thankful for you, for your dear wife, Debbie, and for your stand for truth and integrity and what you've done in the city of Jacksonville and the community for all these years. Don, would you just take several minutes and tell our listeners, some of them may not know you as well as I do, tell our listeners something about you, something about your background, what you're doing, why you're doing it. Why do you want to run for office? Why do you want to have the headaches? Why do you want to be involved? Just feel free to take several minutes to do that introduction and talk with our listeners.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for allowing me to be here today.
Amen.
And
my
share
pleasure.
This with you. I feel like I'm a servant of God.
Amen.
And I enjoy serving people in the community of Jacksonville. I like Jacksonville. I served 8 years on the city council, where I took a strong stand for conservative family values. I was chaplain of the council for 2 years, where I was threatened to be sued by the ACLU and beat up for my praying in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus is my God. I pray. You asked me to pray, I'm going to pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And if I asked somebody of another religion to pray, I wouldn't expect them to pray in Jesus' name. But I serve as school advisory chairman for area school advisory chairman in the south side area of Jacksonville, and have been for over 20 years, like 25 years, I think, where I meet with principals, I meet with school teachers, I meet with the superintendent of schools every month. I hear the issues of our schools and our school system. I see the issues of our school system. My wife and I have 5 kids that graduated from the public schools. So and we have a lot of, they haven't gotten better, I tell you. And we have a lot of problems in our public schools. And I had a good relationship with our school system, with the school board member in the district that I'm running for at the time that I served on the city council, where we worked together on a lot of issues that actually saved the city money, saved the school board money. At this point, there's not a lot of accountability for how the school board is spending their money. And they're wanting a 0.5% sales tax approved so they can have more money, but they haven't done a good job of telling what they're spending the money on. I think we need some changes in our schoolrooms. I think there's a lot of changes that we're not able to retain our teachers. We are over 100 teachers short in Duval County at this point, and have been since the beginning of school year. Losing them as fast as they come in because of the schoolroom atmosphere. The teachers are under a real burden with these students, the behavior. They are restricted as to what they can do with bad behavior and controlling the classroom. There's a lot of issues that need to change in our schools. But I, you know, I serve the community in a lot of ways. I serve in my church. I've been an usher in my church for 40 years where I go to church. And I serve the Lord in everything that I do. I did as a city councilman. I do in my everyday life. I'm a businessman. I have owned a business for over 50 years. And I cut hair for a living. I have a barbershop. I have a beauty shop. I had a triathlon production business for several years. And but, you know, in whatever I do, God is first in my life. And has that has treated me well. He has done things. He has helped me to do things that I never thought were possible. And I like serving on the city council. I took my stand on biblical issues. I was beat up at times, but you know, the God that I know carried me through that without too many bruises. And I learned a lot. I learned that you can't always believe what people tell you. And Dr. Youngblood is exactly right. We need people that will tell the truth and have convictions and stick with their convictions. I've had many people that I've served with that tell me, well, I think you're right. I believe that. But, you know, I may not get where I want to go if I don't, you know, give in to that or if I don't vote the way they want me to. The 8 years I was on the city council, I never missed a council meeting. I was there for every meeting, every vote. I think if you're going to commit to serving in any capacity for our city, serving God, you need to be where you say you'll be, and don't look for excuses to run the other way when something, which a lot of people in the politics do, you won't see them when you come up for a serious vote. They disappear all of a sudden. And
they step out to the green room.
They step out to the green room. That's exactly right.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Where'd that one go, you know? But this is what happens. You need people that with the convictions of their and the fortitude to take the beating and still do the right thing. So, you know, there's a lot of things in the school system that, first thing, we have a very liberal school board right now. We have one conservative member on the school board. She needs some help. She needs somebody to take a stand with her. And, you know, this I would like to do. I will promise you that to stand for God, stand for family values, and look after our children's safety. The issues that... one of the issues that is burden to me is we have a lot of children that are kicked out of school, expelled from school, put on the street, and this is where a lot of our crime is being committed. These kids, when they put out on the street, they're not at home where they're supposed to be.
Not being supervised, watched over.
They're not supervised. They're out there running the streets. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're interviewing Don Redmond. Don is running for school board District 3. For that seat. And Don, would you say then, and we're going to get to some more serious questions in a moment that we can have an opportunity for you to speak to our listeners today about them. Would you say then, and this is not asking you for a prideful statement, but a factual statement, would you say then that you're pretty familiar with our educational system in Duval County and you know where the problems are and you've got a good idea on some resolutions for them?
I am very familiar with our school system, yes. Like I said, I meet with our principals every month and take the issues that each school has to the superintendent every month and push to get them taken care of.
Yes. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm wanting to point out there, it's not a novice. Don is not a novice when it comes to the educational system. He has been involved, and I'm looking at his what is called palm card here, his political outreach card. 20 years plus as chairman of the Area School Advisory Committee in Southside, 20-year members of the full-service school oversight committee and past chairman, current chairman of the Inglewood School Advisory Committee over 20 years. Current vice chairman of the Greenfield School Advisory Committee for a member for 15 years. Current vice chairman of the Sheriff's Watchman Watch Committee for 18 years. And I could go on and on and on with the qualifications in the educational area. And so, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number is 831-0917. Perhaps you've got a question for Don that you want to ask him about the school system, about the school board and the makeup of the school board, and a question that you would like to ask. Especially, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, you've got children in the Duval County Public School. If your grandparents, if your parents and grandparents with kids in the school, I believe that it's incumbent upon each parent and grandparent with kids in the public school system to be aware of who we have on the school board. We have seven members, I believe it is, Don, seven members
seven
on the school
members.
Board. And as he just spoke of a moment ago, only one that would be considered a conservative member of the school board. Don, would you tell our listeners just very succinctly, and we'll get back to the elaboration on it after the top of the hour in a moment, but tell our listeners three basic things, just touch on them and then elaborate for a moment, three things that you think are imperative that you become involved in to change or to do or to implement when you're elected on the school board.
Well, one of the issues that I have a lot of concern about is our we don't have the trades and the skill centers that we did at one time, and they work very good. We have I hear people out here in the working world on a regular basis looking. They can't find people to hire, especially in the construction business. And I know at Englewood High School, we did have a construction class there, and they discontinued that about 5 years ago. North Florida Home Builders Association sponsored that and furnished, somebody to teach there. And the school system decided they couldn't afford to help with that, so they did away with it. So there's a lot of trades out there that we could be helping with and supplying young people. Not everybody's going to go to college.
I was about to interject and say that not everybody that's going to go to college, not everybody, ladies and gentlemen, that needs to make sure that they have all of the academics in line to go to college. A lot of folks that are best fitted for a good skill, a good trade to be trained. In fact, Brother Don, in today's society, multitudes of those that have skilled trade or trade skills are making more money than those with PhD degrees
that's
in their
pocket. That's exactly right, yes.
So there's a need for that. Go ahead. Yes. We've got about 2 minutes before our break.
And that is one of my main concerns. I would like to see that reinstated in our public school system. And another thing, we need an audit of what goes on, the money, where the money is in our school system. I have a real concern about how the money is spent. I've talked with people in all parts of the school board, and nobody seems to know just where the money is going. And our teacher shortage. We need to work on these classrooms. I know teachers that have left this county, gone to other counties because of basically the classroom experience is not satisfactory for them to work
in. Let me interject for just a moment. You're talking about the lack of discipline in the classroom, and that's one of the fundamental problems that's keeping us from retaining teachers. From your perspective, is it a top-down problem? Do we have a problem from the superintendent standpoint? I'm not trying to trash or anybody that's in that position, but I find it antithetical to truth when somebody says, well, it's the teacher's problem, when they're simply following rules and regulations for what they can and can't do in the classroom. That's a top-down issue.
It's a top-down issue, and it's passed right on down, and I hear it from school to school. Basically cover up whatever you can. Don't look bad.
Yes.
We don't want our school system to look bad.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.